2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
Welcome back to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I'm joined again by my good friend, my colleague here at Baseball America, Josh Norris. We are breaking down the New York Yankees top 10 prospects and beyond today in the podcast. Josh, long time no talk. How you been, man?
It's been an eventful 24 hours since we talked last. Actually, it's less than that. I think we talked
just like 18
hours. Not to say anything of all the Slack conversations and whatever other method communications we've had.
Our super secret clandestine WhatsApp messages
were Signal, with Telegram,
yes,
homing pigeon.
Exactly.
Where we fix
prospect rankings all over and make sure that players that we like are ranked highly. If mm-hmm. Anyway, let's talk some New York Yankees. They have had somewhat of an eventful offseason, as much as you could say that in the 2024 offseason as we sit here on February 8th. But they acquired Juan Soto. They went out and they got Alex Verdugo as well as some other pieces. They've traded out from the farm system to do so. Here was a tweet that you put out during the handbook process, if I recall. I don't have it in front of me or the date, so forgive me, I'm unprepared. But to summarize and sort of paraphrase a little bit, you said, it of the time that you've been here at Baseball America ranking the Yankees farm system, and I think doing as good of a job as anybody out there in terms of your reporting and work, you said it was the deepest that you had seen or could remember in this farm system. And the Yankees are typically known for having depth, I would say, because of how well they do on the international market, where it seems like you just sign a million players every year. But beyond that, how much has that changed since the trades? How much has it impacted that viewpoint that you had?
Yeah, and I'll clarify, that was before the Soto trade. So when they were, I might have been, yeah, I think it was before the Verdugo trade too. So they were, you know, a little bit deeper before that. But I think it's a confluence of, you know, I've been going on since the summer about how deep the lower levels of that system are, specifically the FCL club, which, you know, I've been hearing from scouts all summer that it was stacked to high heck. And, you know, there were guys, you know, having to play out of position because there were too many guys at one spot and, you know, too many infielders. And, you know, there's multiple really high level talents on that team. You know, one guy said it was the best FCL club he'd seen in decades, and that's part of it. But also, you know, what you see in the book is also because some of their top guys haven't graduated yet. Like, you know, next year we're talking at this time, I imagine Dominguez will graduate, Pereira will graduate, Austin Wells will graduate. That's three right there. I don't know about Chase Hampton. 50 and a third big league innings this year would be surprising, maybe. I don't know. But it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for him to graduate. And in that case, system will take a big hit. And then, you know, if they do make some moves at the deadline, probably take some further hit. But, you know, they lost a fair amount of prospect capital. I think Drew Thorpe, you know, chief among them in the Soto move. And they're still pretty darn good. We have them ranked somewhere in the 10, I think, of our recent organizational rankings. See, I'm not prepared either. But yeah, it's a really good system. It's really got interesting guys top to bottom. And now they've got to start plugging these guys in and getting the most out of them in the big leagues. That's the next step. Because once Dominguez comes back, you've got that guy who seems, you know, like he fit in the spot. I don't know where he's going to fit right now with Soto and Judge and Grisham, and there's one more I'm missing, Verdugo, all in the mix at the same time. That doesn't leave a whole lot of spot for Dominguez, but he certainly wouldn't hurt him to get a little bit more AAA seasoning once he comes back. Austin Wells should have plenty of catching time. You can get him to play to his potential. That would be a boon for their system. I mean, he's not gonna the defensive catcher that Jose Trevino is, but he's better in theory, offensive player. Pereira is somewhere in that mix too, but like I said, I don't know where he fits with guys like, I just listed the whole outfield, Soto, Verdugo, Grisham, Judge. So there's a lot of seasoning to be done there. But there's their prospects, and they're top 100 prospects, and they're pretty talented. So they've got that and a bunch of other guys from the 11 through 30 range and on down. Like, doing the 31 through 40s, which you'll see, I believe, next week, it's not hard to find 10 more guys to at least write a couple sentences about.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that came to mind to me, just spur of the moment here, as we're chatting and you're going through all these different players and just the depth as well on the positional side at the major league level, they have plenty of talent at the top of this system and throughout to potentially pull off a few more big trades. We certainly know that if they want to spend up to their potential, they have the budget and capabilities to spend with anybody and take on contracts. So it seems like heading into 2024, the Yankees are in a really advantageous position to potentially one up some of their rivals in the AL East, which, you know, we know from top to bottom is very strong. They and the Orioles have the ability to go out and make big moves still. And I think that's really interesting. And obviously the Yankees, unlike the Orioles, probably, but we'll see with the ownership, but probably don't have any constraints when it comes to taking on salary and, you know, potential cost and that sort of thing. So they seem like they're in a better spot than they've been in from like an asset and a major league standpoint than they've been in a long time, you know, despite a disappointing 2023. Is that wrong, or how do you feel about that?
I think so. I mean, a lot of it's going to hinge on the pitching staff. You know, Gerrit Cole is and remains Gerrit Cole. You'd like to see better what you got from Carlos Rodon. Nestor Cortez
was injured as well. Yeah.
What'd you say, Jeff?
Nestor was injured as well.
Yeah. You'd like to see a return to health for some of these pitchers. I did mention a lot of players. I didn't mention a whole lot of pitching. Yeah. Chase Hampton is one of them, but they did really deal from the pitching depth. You know, Michael King he wasn't a prospect, but he was one of their bigger breakout guys last year. And he was one of the headliners of that trade. Same with the Soto trade. Randy Vasquez, too, would have filled that mix. Drew Thorpe could have been in line for some big league time at some point. So they have to hope they get what they can from their current rotation. Will Warren is in there, too. I should mention that.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's what it's going to hinge on this year. And guys staying healthy, too.
Sure. And they went out and they got Marcus Stroman, who's middle of the rotation, sort of innings eater. Clark Schmidt took a step forward last year. Mm-hmm. He's got to take another step forward this year to really hold that rotation spot for the Yankees. And as you mentioned, you know, Cortez, Rodon, I'd have to look at the combined number of starts that they made last season, but way under what you would have projected. The quality when they were on the mound was way under what you would have projected. Full healthy seasons from those guys, I think you're right, are sort of the key, or they use some of this prospect capital to potentially trade out.
Or, you know, there's a two-time Cy Young winner sitting out there who just costs money.
Who would that be?
Blake Snell.
Oh, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Lefty in Yankee Stadium, not too bad either. That's a good fit. But have you heard any smoke around Snell of the Yankees? I feel like it was like he was going to Seattle, and then it was like an abrupt stop.
I mean, I'm not going to speculate, but I mean, I think I thought I read somewhere that they were the only team that's actually made an offer.
That's interesting. Yeah, you might be right about that. I'd have to double check. But hey, that's also a potential possibility there. They do need, I think, another arm or two. I think that's a...
You can never, ever, ever, ever have too much pitching. Ever.
It's very true. It's very true. But with that being said, let's get into some of those tradable assets, some of those exciting players that could contribute this year. In just a moment after this quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them, all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, and we are back. Josh Norris talking Yankees prospects here with me, Jeff Ponce. Josh. Top of the system, we already mentioned Jason Dominguez. I think he's a known commodity at this point. We saw him in the big leagues for a little period of time. He should be back at some point this season. Whether he contributes to the big leagues, you talked about that in the opening. I think we can pass over Jason Dominguez. Are you okay with that, Josh?
Yeah, I mean, he's a potential really good big leaguer, but sure. I don't know when you're going to see him. It depends on how the rest of the rehab with the surgery goes. It sounds like it's fine. But, you know, it is what it is at this point. You're talking about Jason Dominguez. I think everybody knows about Jason Dominguez. The arguably, until recent days, the most famous prospect in the minors.
Yeah. I would say that that's probably
I mean, and just because the hype couldn't have been bigger around him, just kind of because of when he signed, like he signed to all the hype. And then the pandemic hit, so you had to wait 2 years for that official debut. And then, you know, you saw fits and starts of the guy.
Yeah, I'd say Paul Skeens might rival that a little bit just because of how famous he was in college. And, you know.
Does Paul Skeens have a nickname?
Does Paul Skeens have a nickname?
Exactly.
He's got to have a nickname.
It certainly isn't the Martian.
He has a famous influencer girlfriend that is well known.
Does she have a nickname?
I think so.
No.
Right? Is Livy her first name? That's kind of a nickname.
I don't even know who we're talking about. But
Livy Dunn. Anyway, but I'll say he's up there with among the most famous prospects that I've certainly covered in my decade or so of covering prospects, and I'm sure you're right there with me. Let's talk about somebody that I think is super interesting and has massive potential. Also an outfielder that's super tooled up and is kind of an alien himself. That's Spencer Jones. There are not a lot of players like Jones. Was a two-way player back in his California high school days, went to Vanderbilt as a two-way player, eventually has just matriculated as an outfielder only. But he's 6'6", 225 pounds. Super athletic, can play some center field, left-handed hitting, left-handed throwing, really tooled up, as I said, some of the bigger power in the minors. But there's some hit tool concerns, some other things there. So, Josh, talk to me about Spencer Jones, what you're getting in your reporting. We have him pretty high in the top 100 as well.
Yeah, like those top three guys, Dominguez, Jones, and Pereira, I think if you surveyed, 15 scouts, you'd get, I don't think you can get 15 different combinations, but you'd get all the combinations you can possibly get of those three guys. There are some scouts that are super duper high on Jones. And, if you see him on the right series, you see it. Like you see a guy who can potentially play center field. You see power, you see athleticism, you see speed, you see all those things. See him on the wrong series and you see a guy who's going to swing and miss a ton. And, has that frame. 6'6 I would love to be 6'6, but as a hitter, you get more holes that way. We do have to remember that a guy like, Aaron Judge being 6'7 and having the hit tool that he does is not the norm. Like there are plenty of guys who are I'm trying to think of a tall guy who had big hit tool concerns. I'll pull one out of the hat here. Steven Moya had huge hit. I mean, Joey Gallo is a big boy, had hit tool concerns and big time power. So that the holes in his swing come from the frame somewhat, but he had swing decision issues. He had weaknesses against spin. And when I talked to some people, they said it wasn't just swing and miss. It was sometimes getting caught looking. So that speaks into swing decisions as well. For a while, his strikeout rate was north of 30%. He got better as the year went along. but it's still not, you know, exceptional or anything. This is going to be a guy who has extremely high ceiling, but also could crash and burn. I put him there because I do tend to favor upside, and the evaluators I trust believe that upside is pretty darn high. Like 60, very high. They try to say this is the ceiling he has, but it's not quite extreme. I limit those to, like, you know, a guy has like TJ or some sort of really scary injury or whatever.
Oh, I mean, well, even that. He's, or, yeah, I mean, it's a high, I mean, I think it's kind of a high floor still because of the defensive value and the power. Dude's going to get, he's going to get lots of major league time to figure it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Whether he does or not, whether the hit tool, all that sort of thing, whether, you know, there's too many holes in the swing, that's another story. But
yeah, it's a fun player. I wish I'd gotten to see more of him last year. I think last year, pandemic aside, was the least amount of Yankees minor league baseball I've seen since I was 22 years old. Wow. And I am 38. So I saw a game and a half last year. I saw one game in Hickory, and then it rained for the second game in Hickory. So I saw like 8 at-bats of Spencer Jones.
Yeah. Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. I'm excited to see more of him this season. I'm sure I'll...
We'll see him playing with the Somersets.
I would say I'll probably get him back in Somerset. And I would imagine at some point I'll probably see him with the Scranton Wilkes-Barre as well. So,
yeah. And then if they do get aggressive and assign him to Scranton Wilkes-Barre out the gate, well, I mentioned you off mic that I won't be here when they come to Durham. So they come to Durham at the exact wrong time for me.
That's we'll see. I'm sorry about that. Really? I apologize that they're coming at the wrong time.
I don't get
all the other good affiliates in the AAA region.
I also don't think they're going to assign him to Scranton out the gate, but we'll see. So
anyway, we're playing the hits here. I want to talk about some more really interesting players here in the top 10.
You want to play the misses? Cool.
No, we're not going to play the misses. We're playing the hits, baby. We're playing the up-and-comers. We're playing the guys that people are tuning in to hear about. They know about Austin Wells, man. They know about some of these guys that have been in the major league level. We're going to talk about Roderick Arias now. This is somebody that I missed when I was down in the FCL, and I caught 3 games with that really exciting Yankees FCL team. But the feedback you were getting from scouts, and I had similar conversations, was really loud around Arias. So we have him 4 in the system. What makes him such a special prospect?
He can do everything. He can hit. He can hit for power. He can run. He can throw. He can field. I mean, this guy has a potential to be a 5-tool true shortstop. And, you know, those don't grow on trees. His biggest hickey right now is that he's had 2 pro seasons and they've both been cut short by injuries. It's unfortunate. Little bit of swing and miss in the zone. But, you know, everybody I talked to about him was just over the moon with how talented this young man has a chance to be. I mean, the signature moment for his year was, I understand Alek Manoah is a bit of a depressed value or asset, but he took him off the batter's eye in the FCL, which is pretty darn good, because I don't care how bad Alek Manoah was last year. He should be able to cut up an FCL lineup, but he did not. He should make for the centerpiece of a really interesting low A Tampa club this year. Like that, most of the jewels from that FCL club should make the arduous trek across Himes Avenue over to George Steinbrenner Stadium and play in the FSL all year with the auto strike zone. It would be very unsurprising if Arias were the number one prospect in this system next year. And if you told me, you know, he had the highest upside of anybody in this system, wouldn't argue with you.
And that's why case
to be made.
Yeah, and you're putting that above a really talented player like a Jason Dominguez. Uh-huh. That being said, all right, so Arias,
love
him. Good breakdown there. Really exciting. I'm going to go into another one of my favorites. We're going to talk a couple of arms now.
You're going to soliloquy for a while because you're Mr. Pitching.
The much maligned Yankees arms. I'm a big fan of Chase Hampton. I had an opportunity to see him later in the season when the velocity was down a little bit. So he was sitting more like 92 to 94, would reach back. I think he popped maybe a 5 or a 6 a few times. Might have touched a 7. But really good shape on the four-seam fastball. He's got good secondaries. He has a cutter that's really effective. He can throw a changeup. You know, there's a variety of breaking ball shapes here. I believe there's a slider and a curveball as well. And he can throw all of them for strikes. It's an interesting pitch mix. There's some pitchability there. This is a guy that exceeded his previous innings high, and that dates back to college, high school, et cetera. So some of the velocity falling off, I think, was probably expected, but got through a season healthy and was really effective. Josh, what was the feedback like that you were getting on Chase Hampton? Because I feel like he was arguably one of the nicer pleasant surprises for this Yankee system last year. And they had quite a few pleasant surprises.
Yeah, they do this to me every year where they have a guy who is like just off the 30 who comes out and jumps up. Garrett Whitlock comes to mind. Will Warren, then Chase Hampton. And we'll see who's going to be this year. I don't think I've gotten it wrong, but I never do think I've gotten it wrong until the season starts. Actually, full disclosure, the guy I would have banked on that being was one of the guys they traded in the Verdugo deal, which was Nick Judas. I was pleasantly surprised to see him included in that deal because I was thinking, okay, this is my upside guy this year. Okay, well, he's gone, so I know someone else liked him. Anyway, Hampton. You kind of hit the nail on the head. Four pitches, all strikes, all average or better pitches. I don't think he has a true knockout in there. I think the fastball is probably it's higher analytically than scouts necessarily would say. Like it's a really dynamic. It's not a bad pitch to be sure, but it's even better when you look at the metrics. I think last year was just like you said, he kind of ran out of gas there at the end. And if he could hold it over a full season this year, you're going to have something really interesting. It was quite a discussion between him and Thorpe when Thorpe was still in consideration for the system. Thorpe had his fans based on a little more pitchability, and I think he had the most strikeouts in the Yankee system since 2002. I think Brandon Clausen was the last one. He had the most strikeouts in the minors, I believe.
I was like, yes!
I'd like to solve the puzzle. he had the most strikeouts since I've been able to vote in the Yankee system. So it was a darn good year for Drew Thorpe, but it was kind of neck and neck on who you prefer, him or Hampton. I honestly don't remember which way I had them. I think they printed one way. I think it was Thorpe was above him. But he's a really interesting prospect and right now the top arm in the system. Although I think if you want to make this a nice little segue, I think Lalane might have a higher ceiling, but
is it Lalane?
I believe so.
So we've been saying Henry Lalane all this time and it's Henry Lalane.
Henry Lalane. Yeah. I think he has a higher ceiling, but you know, Hampton has certainly proven it at higher levels at this point. And that does mean something. Chase Hampton, really interesting prospect. I'm sure Yankee fans will get to see a lot of him in big league camp this year.
Yeah. I like Lalane quite a bit. I got to see him down in the FCL against the Blue Jays lineup, and he just absolutely shoved for like 3 or 4 innings.
Oh, yeah.
There are not many 6'7" lefties that have that stuff and can throw some strikes too.
Yeah, he could be an absolute monster. There's really no two ways about it. He has monster potential, but Hampton has really good potential too, and he's done it, you know, outside of the complex. So I gave the nod to him.
Oh yeah. Totally agree. Can we start a nickname now for Lalane that he is the monster?
No, I think we've learned copyright restrictions from Eminem and Rihanna.
And I was going to say Dick Raddatz. That was his nickname if you really want to go back in time. But
I don't.
Anyway.
Here on the Bear Podcast.
We're getting a little long now. We've gone through the top 10, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a couple of breakouts. Give me a couple of names that you think are exciting from 11 to beyond. I know we had a couple of 12 and 13 that we had penned, but go with whoever you want here. as we close the show up?
The name I am really excited about is number 23, Angelf Urania. He was my breakout last year, and unfortunately, he got hurt and didn't play an inning, so that didn't work out. But when, you know, two handbooks ago, this was a guy. When you talk to evaluators, you know, you hear when they praise guys, but sometimes you can hear them talk differently. And the way Yankees officials talked about Urania, they were really like, their voice changed a little bit. Like, you know, this is the guy we're really excited about. And, you know, he had, I remember the story I told, or I heard and then put in the handbook, was he homered on his, I think it was his first at bat of his first game in the DSL. And they found out later that he had done it with a broken hand because he had got the ball fouled off it behind the plate the previous half inning and didn't realize it. So he went oppo with a broken hand and then kind of went to the dugout and was like, this hurts. And they x-rayed it and that was it. But this is a guy who has the potential to be a really special bat at the lower levels of the minor leagues. I'm interested to see what becomes of John Cruz. Obviously a big year as a 17-year-old in the FCL. Which, you know, if you know me, you know I love age and context, and that's a big flashing green light to me. See, who else do I like? Yorbit Vivas. He got a lot of love in the Dodgers system. He just came over from the Trey Sweeney deal. Kind of can hit a little bit. All right. And sometimes if you talk to evaluators, you can say he can hit a lot. He can hit a lot. Wow. Not so much with the defense, but he can hit. Brock Selvidge kind of had a little bit of a breakout year in the full season minors. Really filthy slider. The metrics really love it. Yeah, those are the guys that really jump out to me. I think everybody else is kind of known. Guy you might see in the big league bullpen. I think he ranked in the book, but got pushed out by the new international signees, is Jack Neely. He had an obscene amount of strikeouts. I wouldn't be surprised if you see him in the big leagues this year. Those are the guys that really come to mind. Oh, and in the same vein as Angelf Urania, they are really high on a right-hander named Angel Benitez or Angel Benitez. But he had TJ, I think, toward the end of 2022 and missed all of last year. So he might be a guy to break through this year in the FCL. I think that's pretty much the guys I'm looking forward to seeing if I do get to see Yankees affiliates this year.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun group. Definitely a year to get out to the ballpark and see some Yankees prospects, particularly in the early going, because some of these guys might be on different teams come August 1st or whatever.
I want to, you know, I haven't been to Florida since before the pandemic. I'd like to get to the FSL and the FCL at some point and see some of these guys I've been hyping up and take some films of them with my super slow-mo camera that if you follow my Twitter feed, at jnorris427, you know I love using. It'll be fun to get Roderick Arias on tape on the beautiful slow-mo footage.
Exactly. I am not as fancy with a slow-mo camera, but I will be down there in spring training shooting some video of as many.
He's going to Florida. I'm going to Arizona.
Yeah. Let loose. We'll see. I might be down there for multiple weeks.
Yeah, you're gonna join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You'll be down there so long.
Get in some preseason OTAs or whatever, right? You know, go out there, you know, run some 4.340s. It's, you know, my usual stuff. All right. That being said, for Josh Norris, for Jeff Ponce, this has been another installment of the Baseball America Prospects Podcast, counting down the Yankees top 10. Thank you for tuning in. Like, rate, subscribe, only say nice things, please. Otherwise, my feelings will be hurt. And to all the subscribers out there for baseballamerica.com, we appreciate your support. And we'll be back with more top 10 podcasts very shortly.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.